Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kudyk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled, Gifts from the Spirit World.
Gifts from the Spirit World. Aunt Caroline had picked up so many gifts in the spirit world on the other side, picking up and picking up when she was getting her medicine. She picked up so many gifts and brought them back so she could deal with things on this side for people. She said she had been thinking, this would be a good thing to have, and this would be a good thing to have. Well, she gave it all to me, and then I had to learn how to pack that load my Aunt Caroline had been packing. Medicine people had been taking care of adverse feelings for me all my life, so that if somebody did something to me that was like, you know how children get into arguments? You know how someone pushes you or does something like that, mean to you? Well, I wouldn't react the same way as other children. I wouldn't react in the same way. I would just be kind of surprised and shocked that someone would act that way. But I wouldn't do anything back to them. It was like there was a shield around me, like I was in a bubble, or something was protecting me all the time from wide emotional swings. When Auntie died, it was the first time I didn't have that protection. And it was the first time I had all these emotions tossed at me, all these adverse things that people feel. This was much more intense than when I was sealed off as a young girl and no longer had that high level of protection from the medicine women who had been training me. It was quite a surprising load. Having to deal with that part of humanity was really hard for me, because I'd been so accustomed to not dealing with it before. After Auntie had thrown me the basket filled with emotions, I could feel emotions that other people were signaling, like with their body language. After that, I was more like Daryl and could sense people's emotions and read them better. Daryl was always very good at reading people. Before that, I hadn't a clue. It was like I'd been in the dark about what was going on with people. When I was sealed off, it left me freer to have a full range of childish emotions. And after Auntie had given me her gifts, I understood better what was going on with other people's temperaments. When I was younger, sometimes I would get into somebody's mind, and my aunt told me, if they have their mind open, don't go in. You cannot do that. It's not polite to do that. Then one day I was working as a nurse on one of my patients, a Japanese lady, who was really upset about something. I said, I'm sorry your daughter is so sick with her miscarriage. She looked at me and said, you read my mind. I didn't say anything. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. I thought you had said it. I said, your mind was open and I just walked in. I'm sorry. I've been told not to do that. I figure the Japanese must be able to do that because she didn't seem unduly surprised or upset that I had read her mind. My Aunt Caroline told me that her mother's father, the Welsh linguist, said that his mother was psychic. So Grandma's gift may not have just been from being an Indian. I don't know how psychic my grandmother was. She was old and tired and dying of heart disease by the time I knew her. People who had known her when she was younger said she'd been a very strong, domineering personality. Part of this psychic ability comes as a gift to a person, and the training helps you to understand and interpret what you're seeing. Say you see someone dead in a vision. They're in a coffin, and you are going to a funeral, but the person you see is not the person who may die. It's going to be someone close to you, and there will be times, like when I saw that Daryl had been killed. I saw it 3 times, and then told his grandmother, who was a very gifted woman. She said, if you saw Daryl as the dead person in the vision, it isn't him, but it's going to be someone very close to him. it turned out that it was Daryl's brother who died. If I had been more astute, I could have picked up who was being referred to in the vision, but sometimes you don't do that. I wasn't astute enough. I was still young, in my 20s. But there are all these little hints that come with a vision. Sometimes it just leaves you totally in the dark. Like 2 weeks ago, I have a vision of somebody speeding up the road in what looks like a brown SUV, and they get in a wreck. It looks like a white person, and they're dead. I don't even know anyone with a brown SUV. It wasn't an SUV in the end anyway, but it was brown. This person is killed upriver toward Happy Camp. I just put it out of my mind because I didn't know who it was. It might have been some kind of crazy dream or nightmare or something, but it seemed like it was awfully clear. Visions are impressed on your mind. They are not like dreams where you will see yourself, say, swimming in a pool, and then you are floating, and then you're walking across grass, and then something else is happening. Dreams are kind of skippy that way. Visions are like it's happening right there in front of you, and you saw it. I saw a brown car speeding up the road, and when the person was killed, I saw that they looked white. Then about 3 or 4 days after the dream, someone told me about a wreck that was the one I had seen in the vision. The driver was Indian, but he was light and looked like a white person, and he was driving a brown Cherokee Jeep. That's who I was seeing, but I didn't know the driver. I didn't know who his relatives were at the time. But then I learned who had been killed, and my knowing his cousins was my link to him. I think I'd only seen him once or twice in his entire life. The vision that really threw me came to me around 1980. Bebe was in a halfway house with some abused women. She had moved to Reading and was in an abusive relationship, so she was staying in this halfway house where she met three women. The husband of one of them was a domineering religious fanatic. The woman would run away from him, and then she would go back to him. The last time she left, she went to the halfway house and thought she had gotten away from him. She was still afraid that he was going to do something to her, and even had written notes to that effect. But authorities said she was a crazy woman. I didn't even know her, but then I had a vision 4 or 5 times, and I would see a black, wet, foggy parking lot, and I knew I was in a river town. I thought, where is this river town I keep seeing? It looked too populated to be any place close around here. The next time the vision came to me, I saw a woman walking through a glass door into what looked like a little coffee shop. The shop had a hiding place behind this rack, looking back through the glass door. I didn't know who she was or where she was. I just knew it was a woman who looked like she was afraid someone was following her. The last time I saw the vision, someone touched her shoulder, and she looked around startled and frightened. That was the end of the vision. Nothing more. I told Bevi that I kept dreaming about someone who is afraid, and they act like someone is following them, and they're trying to dodge whoever is following them. I told her that in my last vision, someone was touching her, and she was looking up, frightened. It was a small, brown-haired white woman with brown eyes, and I don't know why I'm dreaming about this white woman. Bevi went back over to Reading, and when she came back, she told me that a woman she had been in rehab with, who had come over to see me and acted weird, had been found dead in the Reading Hotel. I told Bevi I didn't know what the Reading Hotel was like, and she described a hotel with a big parking lot and a coffee shop. I asked her about the newspaper rack I had seen in my vision, and she said that the hotel had one of those. She also said the woman had left a paper saying that if she was found dead, her husband had killed her, but that her husband had so much influence in Reading that it was not even investigated. I suppose meeting her briefly here at the house with Bevi was enough of a link to trigger the vision.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called The Vision Gift. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.